Welcome to the NAPA Podcast, a series of 8 podcasts focusing on practitioner careers brought to you by the National Association for the Practice of Anthropology. For more information, please visit the NAPA website at practicinganthropology.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Welcome to the NAPA Podcast Series. My name is Topsy Ramchandani and the date today is August 22nd, 2015. We're here today with Naveen Dangerfield, who graduated in 2013 with a Master of Applied Anthropology from the University of Maryland. Thank you for speaking with us, Naveen.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. First, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing these days?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Australia, and I received my Bachelor's in Anthropology from Curtin University in Australia. And then, as you said, I did my Master of Applied Anthropology at the University of Maryland, and I graduated in 2013. And since that time, I've continued to work in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Maryland as the Graduate Program Coordinator. And in addition to that, I teach a class online as an adjunct faculty member for a community college. And I'm also continuing to take some classes as an advanced special student. I'm pursuing the certificate program in museum scholarship and material culture at University of Maryland, which is a certificate program that is a collaboration with the Smithsonian.
So since you graduated in 2013, you're still getting more qualified and getting more degrees and staying active in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that I've really enjoyed, and actually is a benefit to continuing to be affiliated with the department as a staff member is, you know, I have continued to go to the SSIA, for example, and present on the research that I was doing as a graduate student and continued through the classes that I'm taking as part of the certificate program.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really curious about how you went about launching, you know, your career as a graduate program coordinator. I know it's with the University of Maryland itself, but how did that actually happen once you graduated? Did you set up these connections while you were in school, or did it all happen once you got your degree?
Well, yes, obviously, you know, I was part of the department as a student, so I knew everyone in the department, and I knew a lot about the functionality of the department, and a position became available actually as an administrative coordinator at the time that I graduated. So initially, I applied for that job and was hired in that position. And then it turned out that the person who was in the graduate program coordinator position went on to a different position in a different department, and that position became open, and that seemed like a better fit to the skills and experience that I have had being in the department as a student. So I sort of transitioned to that position, and so I was able to apply all of the knowledge that I had as a graduate student to helping current students in mentoring them a little bit and advising them about their classes and those kinds of things.
So what exactly influenced your decision to stay with the University of Maryland? You know, what actually encouraged you to apply for that post-admin position? Is that something that you were always thinking about, to be associated with the university or any university?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, when I graduated, I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do. You know, I just applied for all kinds of positions. You know, I became aware of an interest in museums and this, you know, material culture sort of scholarship as I went through the graduate program, but I didn't have time to complete the requirements for the certificate program, you know, when I graduated. So it was sort of beneficial to me in a number of ways to stay affiliated with the department in that, you know, I'm able to take classes and I receive tuition remission. You know, I'm also able to kind of stay in an academic environment in, you know, being able to have some support in going to conferences and those kinds of things. And then I also, like I said, I really thought that I was able to apply what I learned as a student and hopefully help improve the program for incoming and prospective students, you know, based on my own personal experience as a student in the department. I can see what works and what doesn't work and how we can improve. And so I felt like that was a good opportunity for me to help improve the experience of students.
Yeah, it seems as though it was really good synergy, synergistic match between, you know, your experiences first being a student and then now working with students coming in, having had that experience yourself. Now that you're in the real world, are there any unexpected surprises or things that, you know, kind of have taken you off guard since you've now, you know, it's a full-time job, you know, you're not a full-time student anymore? Are there things or advice that you can give people who are thinking about applying, you know, their degree or their qualifications in the real world?
Right. You know, one of the things I guess that's been a bit of a challenge for me is that I started my research through the internship that I did, which is a requirement of our Master of Applied Anthropology program. And I really wasn't able to sort of finish the project in a way that I was satisfied with, and I wanted to continue it. And that's been a bit of a struggle for me because, you know, obviously I have a full-time job, so I have, you know, those responsibilities, but I really want to continue the research that I started. So that's been something that, you know, been a little bit of a struggle in trying to find a balance with those things, and also to you know, receive some support in pursuing my research, because now, you know, I'm a staff member, so I'm sort of on a different track from students. So I don't have, or up until now, I haven't had an academic advisor anymore or those sorts of supports. But now that I actually applied and have been accepted as a certificate program student, I actually do have a mentor or an advisor now. So hopefully, you know, that will help me a little bit in being able to continue to pursue this line of research that I started as a student. But that's something that was, you know, a little bit, you know, difficult in a way, because I was passionate about that. But, you know, obviously, particularly in this position, there are a lot of administrative demands. And so, you know, my focus sort of switched to those sorts of things. And, you know, I wanted to be able to pursue the research, but it was difficult with time constraints and other things to be able to do that.
Right. So your research, has that now continued on with the certificate program, or is that still on the back burner? How are you managing the pressures of working and conducting your research?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So the introductory course to the certificate program in museum scholarship requires that we do an exhibit proposal. So that kind of pushed me to come up with something a little more concrete based on the research that I had done. But at the end of the day, it was still a proposal. And if this is going to come to fruition, then I need funding and, you know, I need other kinds of support that I haven't had the time to be able to pursue because I'm working full time. So, you know, I'm hopeful that if I continue with the certificate, that I'll be able to continue with that and take it to the next step, but I'm not able to focus on that full time in the same way that a full-time student is able to.
Well, given your, you know, your predicament of having to figure out how to do research as well as, you know, fulfill the needs of having a full-time job that has its own pressures, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who is, you know, looking to get into the real world once they graduate, but like you, want to be able to continue researching things that they want to do? Is there anything that you would do differently? What would you say to that?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important is to prepare yourself as you go along. And actually, this is one of the things that I quite find satisfying about the job that I have, is that, you know, I've noticed that there's a need for us to have more professionalization in our graduate program that we didn't really have. You know, that was something that was left to the student to do on their own. So if that's something that I've instituted in my position for all the students in our graduate program in the fall, we're going to have a lot of guest speakers and people to come and talk about the various skills that you're going to need, you know, going into the workplace. So, you know, how to write a resume or a CV, you know, how to find non-academic jobs, all those kinds of things. So, but when you're so caught up in, you know, doing your academic work, sometimes you know that those things are important, but you don't place the emphasis on them. And it's something that really needs to be done along the way. So that's something, you know, in retrospect, I wish I had done more of that. as I went along. And, you know, so then you can also really know when you get close to graduation, you know, what do you want to do? What direction do you want to go in? You know, maybe more so for PhD students as far as, you know, picking. Do I want to, you know, go on an academic track or do I not? And to know the different options that are out there, because I don't know that we necessarily know what we can do with our degrees. And there's so many different things that we can do, but there's so many resources all around us, people that have experience and knowledge that we can benefit from that we don't necessarily reach out to or, you know, hear about. So, you know, I guess that's the advice that I would have, is I wish I had sort of better prepared myself along the way to do all those things and to make a determination about which way I wanted to go and how to pursue, you know, research when you're not a student anymore. You know, that's not something that we really talk about that much either.
So where would someone go to access these resources or to arm themselves with these tools? We have career services at every university, so we know that's an option. But is there anything else that you would recommend, reaching out to particular people, you know, or prowling the internet? What do you suggest?
I really think a lot of it is networking, you know, because in our own department, we have just a wealth of experience and knowledge, as I said, within our own department. So, for example, you know, we have a lot of adjuncts and affiliates in our department. So a lot of students, just they don't know who they are, they don't know their experience, and that they can benefit from these people, but they don't know how. So I think a lot of it is networking and just reaching out to people and talking to people. So I think, you know, we should all do more of that. And if people in positions like myself can coordinate events that can benefit, you know, groups of people, then, you know, that's even better.
Yes, and networking at conferences, you know, just to add, is another great way to connect with people in your field or people who can, you know, give you advice having been in the field. The SFAs are a big space to do that as well.
Absolutely. And I think following up, you know, because you meet people at conferences and you take their card and then you forget to email them or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I think if you're really conscientious about following up with people, that can help.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. And also, I wanted to ask you about the certificate program that you're now enrolled in. Is that a way to also arm yourself with more real-world skills? Is that how you decided to do this or why you decided to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the introductory course was taught by two curators at the Smithsonian. So, you know, we're learning from people who are in the real world, who have the kinds of jobs that we want to get. So, and the way that they structured the course was our assignments were things that, you know, they would have to do in their jobs. So it was great to be able to get that real world experience, you know, without, you know, necessarily getting the job first, you know, learning how to do some of the things that are required in both kinds of positions. And then also just benefiting from their knowledge of working in that kind of environment. You know, what kinds of different jobs are there? What kinds of qualifications do you have to get these different positions? Okay, right. So I don't have a PhD, so I can't be a curator, so what can I be, you know?
Mm-hmm. So networking, connecting with career services, reaching out to your graduate program coordinator, doing a certificate course if you have that option, you know, even once you graduate, these are all ways that you can prepare yourself as you're considering working in the real world.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the strengths of our department is that our students are a really tight bunch, you know, and so I think that, you know, that's another way. You know, each of us have a lot of knowledge and experience that we can share. So I think that's something our department does well, and that's something that, you know, we could, you know, continue to do and other people can benefit from, is the students around you, they can really help you.
Right. Well, thank you for all that insight. Any other last thoughts or suggestions before we close?
Well, I think it's just really good also to have forums such as this where we can talk about, you know, what people are doing, the difficulties people have, their experiences, to realize that it isn't necessarily a straight and easy path, from graduation to getting a dream job. You know, there are lots of winding paths and different things you can do along the way, and that's normal, and that you should expect that. And it doesn't mean you can't get to where you want to go at some point, and that you're going to benefit along the way from the different experiences that you have.
Right, right. Well, hopefully this is going to be a platform where people can, you know, hear about your experiences and renew their faith in the fact that it's all going to be okay once they graduate.
Right.
And they're going to figure their way out. Well, that should be a wrap for us. And this has been the NAPA podcast series, speaking today with Nadine Dangerfield. Thanks again, Nadine, for your time.
Thanks for talking to me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out the other podcasts in our 2015 series. For more information, please visit the NAPA website at practicinganthropology.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.